From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Our text for this morning comes from Psalm 12 and verse 1. Help, Lord. The prayer itself is remarkable, for it is short but seasonable, sententious and suggestive. David mourned the fewness of faithful men, and therefore lifted up his heart in supplication. When the creature failed, he flew to the Creator. He evidently felt his own weakness, or he would not have cried for help. But at the same time, he intended honestly to exert himself for the cause of truth, for the word help is inapplicable where we ourselves do nothing. There is much of directness, clearness of perception, and distinctness of utterance in this petition of two words, much more indeed than in the long rambling outpourings of certain professors. The psalmist runs straightforward to his God with a well-considered prayer. He knows what he is seeking and where to seek it. Lord, teach us to pray in the same blessed manner. The occasions for the use of this prayer are frequent. In providential afflictions, how suitable it is for tried believers who find all helpers failing them. Students in doctrinal difficulties may obtain aid by lifting up this cry of, Help, Lord, to the Holy Spirit, the great teacher. Spiritual warriors in inward conflicts may send to the throne for reinforcements, and this will be a model for their request. Workers in heavenly labor may thus obtain grace in time of need. Seeking sinners, in doubts and alarms, may offer up the same weighty supplication. In fact, in all cases, times, and places, this will serve the turn of needy souls. Help, Lord, will suit us living and dying, suffering or laboring, rejoicing or sorrowing. In Him our help is found. Let us not be slack to cry to Him. The answer to the prayer is certain if it be sincerely offered through Jesus. The Lord's character assures us that He will not leave His people. His relationship as father and husband guarantee us His aid. His gift of Jesus is a pledge of every good thing, and His sure promise stands, Fear not, I will help thee.
Lord, you are my
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues to study Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he concludes a message called Fundamental Christianity. In verses 15 through 20 of chapter 1, the apostle deals with the truth of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the face of the heresy of Gnosticism, which was then attacking the fledgling church at Colossae, Paul emphasized that Christ is the eternal God, the image of the invisible God. As such, Christ is God manifested in the flesh, the God-man. He is the firstborn of every creature, Lord over every created being. He is the creator of the entire universe, the possessor and preserver of everything that exists. He upholds it all by the word of his power. Because of all this, he is able to do all that is necessary to be the Redeemer. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
I want you to see what Paul's doing here. This church is being attacked by false doctrine. Instead of just getting into controversy, which at times you have to do, he's building up this wonderful vision of truth. He's saying, brethren, this is our faith. This is our gospel. This is Christianity. And it's centered in the person of Christ. He is truly God. He is of a different rank of being than all creatures. They are his creatures. He is their creator. Not only because by him they were created, but all the creative energy and will necessary to bring them about reside in him. The Church of England Bishop Ellicott, if I could adapt his words rather slightly, he said, the act of creation rests in him and depends on him for its completion and realization. And this is true of all creation. Notice what Paul says. All things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now this gives you an insight into the invisible world of created spirits. These are not emanations from God. They're not mediators between God and man, but they're the created spirits of the angelic world whom our Savior created. Thrones, lordships, as the word dominions would literally be, principalities or governments, and authorities. Now, whether they are different ranks of angels, as many believe, and I think it's quite possibly so, Paul doesn't get into that detail. He's not here to satisfy our curiosity about the angelic world. He's simply saying there is an angelic world out there. I don't want to get off on a track that'll take me nowhere. This is mere speculation. But it maybe help you. Christians get worried when these NASA scientists send their probes up and they come back and they say, we are getting some sort of signals of energy. There is intelligent life out there. So, and they get all worried. Maybe the Bible's wrong. Man, go and give yourself a good look in the mirror, a slap in the face, a bit of cold water, a good dose of common sense. Neither NASA nor a thousand NASAs will ever prove the Bible wrong in one single syllable. Why would it surprise you to know that there's intelligence outside of this world of ours? The Bible's been saying that all along. Daniel learned a little about angelic powers and the role they play in the affairs of this world. It's not to say that men are not responsible agents for what they do, but there is a mighty world there that we do not see. And what Paul is saying is this, brethren, remember, whether they are thrones or lordships, whether they are principalities or authorities, whether they are good angels or evil angels, Christ is over them all. He's over them all. To give the words their literal force, they stand created. The tense of the verb would yield that sense. All things stand created through him. So he's the preserver of all that he created. This is Christ's preeminence. Not only that, he's the goal of this creation. Unto him at the end of verse 16 we read, are all these things. They were created by him and for him, or unto him. What's the purpose of this world? It's for Christ. What's the purpose of this universe? It's for Christ. That's its purpose. I remember years ago being part of a protest at Canterbury Cathedral, where they were having a Roman massing, idolatrous betrayal of the Protestant Reformation, and being good Protestants, we were there to protest against the sellout of the gospel to Roman apostasy. And as we were there, some little upstarts from the local grammar school, who had more lip than wit,
came by, and they were not angry at us protesting the apostasy of the Church of England. They were so, I remember one little upstart particularly, he was so mocking that grown men would even believe in God. Why? Because this world is so small. Somebody had taught him about the vastness of the universe. It's so vast, and it's going on and on, it's so vast. You know, he was picking up on a theological, or should I say, an objection to theology from some rank apostate philosophers, that the very vastness of the universe says God could never create all this for the purpose of saving this world. It's overkill. Why would he create billions of stars to do a work on this tiny little speck of dust in the middle of nowhere on the outer fringes of the universe? Why would he do it? Well, if you put it that way, either there is no God or God's mad. That's what they want you to believe. But they're the mad ones. You see, God never said, I created this whole universe for the sake of man. Oh, he has a wonderful eternity for man. Of all his creatures, man is the crown. Remember, it's not the angels are the crown. It's man is the crown of God's creation. The greatest provision that God has made or will make is for man. But what's the reason for that? Why did God create all this universe? Why is it so vast? Why is it so wonderful? I'll tell you why. It's because it is for his Son. He's the goal of the whole creation, and it will be for his glory unto all eternity. Furthermore, he's the orderer and the upholder of all this creation. Verse 17 says, he is before all things, and by him or in him all things consist. The word consist means they hold together. Let me quote another. I'm quoting Anglicans this morning, or English Episcopalians. J.B. Lightfoot said, and it's a beautiful statement, he is the principle of cohesion in the universe. Listen to this. He impresses upon creation that unity and solidarity which makes it a cosmos instead of a chaos. Now, here you would need the scientists to come up. With a developing knowledge, or should I say, maybe a more informed speculation as to the very nature of matter. Scientists have told us that really, whereas the ancients thought of everything being so static, everything was just created and stuck there, the way you would get a postage stamp and stick it on, that's it, stuck there. Even the stars were 1,054, if my memory's right, 1,054 fixed stars. They were stuck there like little stamps on the heaven. That was the notion among many of, not among, in the scripture, mind you, the scripture actually said something very different. But it's wonderful how blind people can be, blinded by the knowledge of their day when they come to the Bible. But we have learned that we live in the midst of constant motion. Everything is flying around, as it were. Seems solid enough, doesn't it? Do that there, that seems even more solid. Yet every particle is in constant motion. The earth is spinning. It's moving through space. Every other body in space, from the tiniest to the greatest,
is a mass of motion. What holds it all together? Don't talk about the laws. Laws are only the imposition of a will. That's all. What holds it all together? What stops this universe from being one vast chaos? What makes the investigation of any scientist, even the one who most denies God, what makes it even possible? It is our Savior. Here's his preeminence in creation. This is his essential and eternal glory. This is the preeminence that belongs to him because he is God. He is our Creator. He is the one who orders, upholds, holds together this whole vast fabric of all created things. Now, I said I would ask you to think this morning. We haven't got very far, and yet we have gone a million miles. What I want you to see is there is a preeminence that belongs to Christ because he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. This is his natural, essential preeminence. This is what he is. And because of what he is, he became as the mediator of redemption. He became the first. He came to hold the first place. Now we're going to get to, and we'll wait to the next service, we're going to get to the preeminence of Christ in redemption. But I want you to understand what I'm saying, and this is why Paul took the time to establish this, and why I've taken the time this morning. If Jesus Christ is one whit less than verses 15, 16, and 17 say he is, then the whole notion that he can be a redeemer is a pipe dream and a lie. It is only because of the preeminence that is his in the creation as God over all angels and men, the creator, the upholder, the goal of all creation. It is only because he is that, by his inherent right as God, it's only then that he can become the Redeemer. But he was all that. He is all that. He can never be less than all of what Paul here says. And therefore, as we'll see tonight, he is the head of the body, the church. In order that he might be in all things the one holding the first place. Because of what he is eternally, he is the head, the redeemer, the savior, in order that in all things he might come to have the preeminence.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.